Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson and especially verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the text. So the Word becomes incarnate and yet remains on high, and seraphim sing anthems to shepherds from the sky. One of our Christmas songs says that, what strange things happening, and what strange things we celebrate. And this day of the year is not like any other day of the year. This is Christmas. And the whole world seems to set it apart. And why is that? And the answer is because Jesus became flesh. He came among us. He breaks down the saying, God is in His heaven and all is well with the world. God is in His heaven and all is well with the world. It's an old saying that has to do with God being in His place, man being in His place, and everything goes well and everybody keeps safe personal distance, as they say. But God will not be restricted by that. He breaks down barriers, breaks rules. God will walk among His people. That was the plan. Way back on, the seventh day of the world's existence, the second day of Adam and Eve's lives, and the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and then, where are you? And then, I heard the sound of you, and I was afraid, and I hid myself. But we're dealing with God who comes into the world. The Word became flesh. And Jesus, He's intrusive. He dwells among His people. It's what God had in mind all through the Old Testament. Calling Abraham, come away from your father's house to a country I will show you. And Abraham goes, and then Abraham ends up not looking for that promised land that you can look around and see, but, letter to the Hebrews says, looking for a country, a different city, a place not made by human hands whose founder and builder is God, looking for that place where God dwells with us. Or Moses, do not ask us to leave if you will not go with us. And on through the Old Testament, always the dream of that closeness with God and that closeness being separated. The veil in the temple, the sins of the people, the holiness of God, and yet God will be intrusive. The Word will become flesh. The Word will dwell among us. Oh, yes. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You spin that verse back into the Old Testament. You follow the wording of the Hebrew Old Testament. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. The tabernacle was the place where God set up His dwelling to be with the people as they traveled through the wilderness. God tabernacled with them. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled with us. That's why Jesus called His body this temple. It's the place where God dwells with us. And the Apostle John says, what we have seen with our eyes and our hands have handled. The Word in flesh, the Word in human flesh, and so the intrusive Christ. He comes to be with us. And we need that. We need God not simply to be here with mercy from a distance. We need God to be mercy incarnate, mercy in flesh, with hands and feet, mercy that walks among his people, mercy that reaches out and touches the lepers, heals the blind, heals the deaf. Picking up on a theme from back in the fall of this year, heals the deaf. Do you remember that one? Well, the pastor walked down the aisle and picked somebody out and said, and heals the deaf. How? And he put his fingers in somebody's ears. And if you were at the Saturday service, you saw the guy go, ah! They said, he won't be back. He's asked to join our congregation. The intrusive Christ. You know, when I do it, it's not the same. But when he does it, you know you've had the intrusive Christ there. And he gets in your life. He gets under your skin. The Jesus who, as you heard last night, looks you in the eye and he tells you what's in your soul. And you realize you've been known all the way down inside, which could make you run, but known all the way down inside by this one, by Jesus, who happens to pull and tug and draw you because you know in him there's the mercy and grace of God. There is God incarnate, but God in his mercy in the flesh. God who cares, God who draws you, God who takes your life and joins it with his life, and then it's transformed and it becomes something absolutely amazing. And that's how he calls his disciples and how he calls Nicodemus at night, John chapter 3, how he calls the woman at the well. From out of your soul will come flowing rivers of living water. She doesn't know what to make of it at first, but then realizes that she has been seen and known by God who loves life, loves her, wants to have her soul continuing on forever, wants her to share in the resurrection of Jesus. And that's why he comes into the flesh. This great pursuit by God. We need him to be Emmanuel, God with us, and then to push the meaning of the words God with us. God in our human nature, so that he knows hunger and thirst and joys and sorrows and fatigue and kneels in prayer. Think about that. God kneeling in prayer. He shares our nature. And even bowed his head and died. And when Jesus is there, sharing this human nature, again, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, the kingdom of God is coming. And then, God with us. Keeping pushing the meaning of that with us in our sins, and yet he is the one without sin, but he makes himself with us in our sin as he takes the wrath of God there on the cross, endures the wrath of God and the punishment and the judgment, but endures it with faith and prayer. And when Jesus is with us, then sin is forgiven, death is broken, the grave is undone, life and resurrection comes into the world. And he keeps on going, pushing the meaning of the words God with us, because he is God with us in our souls, to tabernacle with us. How far can you push that word? to tabernacle with us so that each Christian soul becomes the dwelling of God, the tabernacle, the temple of God. Each Christian heart becomes the place where God has chosen to dwell, the intimate indwelling of Jesus to be in our hearts and in our souls forever, and pushes it even further than Psalm 139 that says, "You discern my thoughts from afar." Or, "Before there's a word on my tongue, you know it altogether." This is the indwelling Jesus Christ, and that is what God had in mind when he sent Jesus into the world. God chooses to bind his mercy to that flesh and blood child, to be there as Emmanuel, God with us, because it is in that flesh and blood that he was born for you, and in that flesh and blood that he suffered and rose for you, and it is with that flesh and blood that he will return for you, to invite you to rise and live with him forever. It's with that flesh and blood that Jesus is our brother and reigns in heaven, so that when we pray, when we call out to God, we're not calling out to somebody who's strange and alien from us. We are calling out to somebody who knows the every need of this life, the every trouble and difficulty and problem, to somebody who shared the experience of prayer, to somebody who knows what it is like to be fatigued in trying to do right, fatigued in calling out to God and sometimes feeling like it isn't being heard. But to somebody who knows how to do that and walk that walk of faith. So Jesus chooses to walk the walk of faith with us. And it is with the same flesh and blood that he comes to us today, because he keeps on pushing those words, God with us. How far can he push them? Well, to take his own body and blood and to set it in front of us and say, "Take and eat, drink. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And to invite us to take him on our tongue, in our mouths, into our bodies, to join himself to us and join us to him, and in that way also to be God with us, Emmanuel. And what an amazing pattern for God to take on. What an amazing thing for God to choose to do. And here we are, Christmas morning, celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrating Jesus coming into the flesh, and waiting in just a few moments to receive the body and blood of Jesus, to have that given to us. So as Jesus does this, certain things have to happen. Well, the angels have to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Because now the glory of God is, the glory of God is transformed and made different, and the glory of God is to be with us. The glory of God becomes what God does for us, to bring his glory into our world, to share that glory with us, and to transform and make us glorious. So the angels must sing. Wise men must come to worship, because the deepest wisdom is to know the deepest things about the world and creation and about how everything is put together. And how everything is put together is that God has stepped into our world. And the wisdom of the wise men is to go and to kneel and to worship. And the shepherds, hearing the song of the angels, well, they have to go because there's the baby over there in Bethlehem. And this is the one that the angels worship. This is the one the angels bow down before. And shepherds out in the field hear this message from God and go to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who else would angels go to than to shepherds who know the importance of lambs? And Peter must confess, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In amazement and wonder that the Christ, the Son of the living God, is there with him that day. That the Christ, the Son of the living God, got into his boat and said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." God with us. And then Thomas has to go and kneel and say, "My Lord and my God." When this Word of God has done his work of redeeming the world, when this Word of God has done the work of praying for us on the cross and has died and risen and begins to proclaim new life and send his disciples out into the world, Thomas has to say, "My Lord and my God." And we, 2,000 years later, we must sing his praises. We must hear his promises. We have to. And we have to come to the supper and taste and see. Not only is the Lord good, but he is amazing, wondrous, wonderful, and he is God with us. In Jesus' name, amen.